Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Lake, Vice President of Training here at Viking. Welcome to another episode here of Tech Talks. We're going to talk about Viking sprinklers and the protection of lithium ion cells and modules, as well as a number of other topics. We're just going to pick the brain again of Senior Vice President of Product Experience here at Viking, Martin Workman. Martin, roll that chair on in here.
That's right.
Let's talk.
It's got to be the world's longest title.
It is. Excellent. Well, you may notice a little bit of a format change here. We're just going to go talking back like we do upstairs. I'm just going to have a conversation about some of these things and really literally pick your brain and see what comes up.
Sure. Yeah,
so, So first of all, let's talk a little bit about lithium ion. Well, that's the main topic here, but I've kind of broken this out almost like Sports Center, where they have different titles and they'll fade in and out as we talk about them.
Cool.
First thing I wanted to talk about, though, is the variety of challenges, because that seems to be what's driving, you know, all these different, there's different research and different tests that are indicating different things. You know, FM's done testing, other manufacturers have done testing. Where do we, what's the variety here that
we're... Well, it's the variety of hazards, I guess. So a lot of the discussion is, just in storage alone, mm-hmm. you know, how do we store them? What's safe to store?
Right.
I think we've got practical limits now, mm-hmm. and I think you actually state, you know, what the maximum is from FM as far as a charge rate,
yeah.
and a new way to look at a title, you know, mm-hmm. a new way to look at something. One of the probably the bigger fears that we have is the parking garage phenomenon,
right?
As I like to call it, the parking garage phenomenon. We've had a few fires, sure.
Uh-huh.
We've had a few fires.
Yep.
We have different types of accelerants, if you will,
uh-huh.
You know, in these parking garages. So, you know, we're kind of moving away from NFPA 13 moved it from an ordinary hazard group one, which I'm sure at one point it was probably okay.
At one point it was, yeah.
When you were parking horses and carriages, maybe it was okay. Then we moved it to ordinary group two, and there was a big movement in this last cycle to do more.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really knows what more to do.
Right.
And I think that we're seeing a lot of movement towards, we have some charging areas that are problematic.
Mm-hmm.
We have some unstable kind of liquid electrolyte that we're dealing
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem with the current state of lithium ion
right.
battery technology.
So the other thing that, you know, not just kind of like the end user stuff, it's The manufacturing of batteries has generated some tests. The FM tests seem to be around the storage of modules and cells individually,
mm-hmm.
or in groups, and then ultimately getting to that end user. So there's lots of fire challenges, it appears, depending on where you are in either the manufacturer, storage, or use process. A lot like other things, you know,
yeah.
a lot of other storage commodities have changed over the, but it seems to be that there's a lot of challenge, and that the challenge might change a little bit here as you move through the product, as the product use changes.
Yeah, right now, of course, we're looking at, you know, a liquid battery, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to solid state. And literally, it's not real difficult. You can all Google it. You can all be experts in about 10 minutes. Solid state means solid. That's what
yeah.
it means. And there's a couple of different technologies that they're looking at. When you've got commitments from major automakers that say by 2027 we will have solid state batteries, that's not a hopeful situation. That's
mm-hmm.
what they're banking everything on. Nicest part about solid state batteries is they charge quicker and they hold a charge longer, so they have you know, it would be the natural evolution of what you're going to do with battery technology.
Mm-hmm.
No question at all. And when you start looking at when you look at aerospace, they've been testing with batteries for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, you'll test for 10 years before you put the first one in a
right,
vehicle.
In a vehicle, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So a lot of that testing is happening. And I think when we start looking at alternative fuels, there's always going to be a need for some sort of a large, when you have large vehicles, you need something that burns hot to push them.
Yeah.
And it's always been a hydrocarbon fuel, as
mm-hmm.
you know, as
oh,
well
yeah,
as anybody.
You're going, yeah, right.
You know.
Uh-huh.
But another alternative, which is very green, quote
mm-hmm.
unquote, especially if you're making blue hydrogen.
Yeah.
And that's a term they have, they actually term hydrogen in different colors. you make blue hydrogen so it can become green hydrogen. And green hydrogen just emits water vapor.
Okay.
And what they do is in the process, they take all the carbon out and shove it into the ground and things like that.
Oh, so, very, very environmentally friendly, Lynn.
Well, we don't know.
We don't.
Of course we don't know.
We don't know yet.
And we won't know in our lifetime. So being the baby boomers and largest consumers in the world, we don't care.
We don't care. All right, moving on here now. That's a variety of challenges that actually, you know, kind of moves us into the future. And that's it, the sprinkler industry as a whole usually is responding to these things. I mean, it's interesting to see in the future, but normally we're developing products, and any one of these products is something that's in a response to a particular challenge. So what's interesting about the what's interesting about lithium ion is the testing and listing. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on around the testing, listings, and approvals, because in that case, you know, sometimes it sounds like we're out in front of it. Sometimes it's like, no, no, you've been here all along. If you look at the FMDS 8-1 with the sprinklers that it approves, we'll talk about that in the next section here. But let's talk a little bit about this testing, listings, and approvals. Where do we stand with testing, listing, and approvals? I mean, what is it about these that are
well? They're typically the only thing that you're going to test uniquely. It would be like a flammable liquid.
Right.
You test that uniquely because of its properties. These are literally considered, you know, I would say probably 15 years ago, everybody just figured out, just put water on it. And when you're, you know, when you're discharging water from a sprinkler, it becomes, you know, as I think FM correctly stated it, it's a known commodity at that point.
Right.
Just how are you going to do it? So there's no specific listing for lithium ion anything.
Right.
Anything.
No,
Battery, anything. You know.
Exactly. And FM's research actually kind of points that out, that they looked at other suppressants. They looked at wet and dry chemical, things like that, and they came up with, no, it's water. Water is still the best because it has that ability to absorb.
Well, they've made some changes or additions in other standards, like battery energy storage, where they literally just said it's a 0.2 with water. Don't put anything else in there.
Right.
Quite frankly, because it doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once as soon as you start the chain reaction happening with this particular type of battery, solid state's going to be different. So I don't want to categorize it because you can still use lithium ion in solid state. You can use other. They're using other products as well. But when it's in a liquid state and it starts its reaction, probably for lack of a better term, all you can do is cool around it. You're not going to put it out.
Right.
You're not going to stop anything.
Right.
So, you know, by applying water, you're applying cooling, everything that we've known, keep the stuff wet around it and it won't burn.
We've been doing that for over 100 years. It's control mode. It's control mode type of protection. But. And the testings and there has been testing, so I don't want to say we're not testing anything. It just there's no list. It hasn't traveled into or moved into a specific test for a specific listing or a specific approval, right? I mean that's where we stand. It's not there. On the other hand, let's talk a little bit about guidance that's given. So usually when we have these, we have a challenge and a variety of challenges. Then we go and try to figure out. As the industry, we go, all right, how are we going to protect this? Let's see what we do, and let's see how it might translate into that. But then you submit all that, and you get approvals, or you get a protection guidance. And you're either going to get it from an FMDS sheet, or you're going to get it from NFPA 13, usually, or an NFPA standard.
Sure.
Because one of the things that's interesting about the NFPA 13 standard is that is the table in Annex A 20.4, and I went there looking at this today, and it's quite different from when I was the staff liaison, where there was about four different items that were in this. We don't cover that, you know, in NFPA 13. It was boat storage, it was six-sided big containers, and things like that. I looked at it the other day. There's over a dozen in there that it doesn't. It doesn't protect, and lithium ion batteries are one of them. So there's nothing there.
Yeah, and partly because there wasn't anything brought forth for the committee to consider.
Yeah.
No one knew what it was. Is it a commodity?
Right.
And FM obviously is involved in the 13, or excuse me, NFPA process, they may have not finished their testing by the time that we close cycle.
Yeah.
So it does make sense. Sometimes when you said we're reacting to it, there are a lot of times we're just catching up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years later, mm-hmm. we're catching
yeah.
up.
Yeah. I mean, well, it takes time to identify the challenge, the hazard, really. You got to learn about the hazard first. Then you figure out how to test for it and develop a product for it if you can.
Wait till they start putting lithium batteries in automatic retrieval storage systems.
of boats. Let's do all of
13
that.
13 will just put a double X, you know, in boats.
Yeah. So the difference here then is that Factory Mutual went, and after their testing, they changed their data sheets, which they're regularly doing. They're updating it because they've...
Yeah, they changed it. They put it in a funny place, or
yeah.
I thought it was an odd place.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's this the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not old enough to know maybe that's the way they always did it, but when they put it in, when you look at commodity classification, which H-1 is, or A-1, and it's actually most of it's applicable in 8-9 in storage.
Yeah. Well, it points to 8-1... points to 8-9, says here's what it is, now go figure out
exactly.
8-9
yeah,
what
yeah.
how to protect it. They didn't do it for this, did they? They took it and they kept it in 8-1.
They left it in 8-1, which I again, it might be the first thing that was open to.
Mm-hmm.
It's important information. I'm glad they put it out. There's no question about it. I think most people are, but it's just a kind of a funny place to put it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So.
And it is also focusing on it confuses things a little. I will admit when you have to now use two documents to figure, because it didn't just stay there. There's part of it that stays in 8-1. And there's part of the storage the way that the storage is arranged and the different state of charge or the different height and everything else that it'll kick you back out for a commodity classification, but a protection over an 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only a couple of things for lithium ion that stay in 8-1, and then there's a few other designs that said go see 8-9.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah. So the protection guidance is different. We'll talk about that as far as the types of sprinklers that you wind up getting. So just kind of recapping here, our challenges are growing. We're finding new challenges all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Testing and listing hasn't really caught up with a published regulation or protection guidance other than what's in FMDS 8-1 and 9, and that then leads to once again that crossover of, and we saw it with a couple of other things, most notably we're in Viking land, we noticed it with the VK514.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly we don't have anything in 13, but we've got to now cross over as enforcement people and as in designers and thing, you've got some guidance. But this is only for the storage. It's not for active use. This thing doesn't really
doesn't cover parking garages.
Right.
It doesn't cover all those little scooters that all the fun-loving young people leave every Saturday night somewhere downtown.
I'm afraid of a face plant on one of those. No thanks.
So there's a lot of things it doesn't cover, but at least it's starting to provide some direction.
Right.
Which,
right.
Unfortunately, 13... Just through the standard cycle and the changes, it just takes a while.
Yeah.
And you know, it may be old news by the time we put it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it could very well be old news by the time we get it there. You know, mm-hmm. if you're going to protect this. It's
right.
Like, well.
Right.
It could be the horse and the carriage thing. You know.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So the protection guidance. Then you got the two standards, and you got NFPA 13, which doesn't say anything yet. We look to the next edition. What's 2025 is the next edition. And somebody, I imagine, somewhere in there, we'll start to see some of this. Like we've had before with lots of the specialty storage arrangements and things like that, where all of a sudden it's like it comes in. High bay storage is one of them. The high bay record storage is one that just kind of plopped in and it was its own protection scheme, and that was it. It didn't move to anything else. So you're probably going to see something like that come in for
it is, or, it is for this. It's unique. There's no question about it. It's trying to fit it into our pictures with square boxes and it, because it's a different animal. I mean, most people think when they think of a lithium-ion battery, and I'm sure you know the real technical geeky battery guys could probably call and correct everything I'm saying. But you know, when you look at a Hummer, that that whole base is is battery.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of little batteries all put together. Mm-hmm. Obviously, same thing with a Tesla. So when you know, you're looking at the manufacturer, storage, charging. There's this whole process that gets to this big plastic thing with them all in there connected and, you know, however they do it. And when you start looking at the solid state batteries, there's kind of a different animal going on there. So, you know, I do look at it. We're trying to fit things into that. This is all we have right now.
Right.
This is all we have. And I think a lot of people are going to draw off the information that FM's brought forward and try to fit it into a box.
Well, right. And that's that's the reason why for us here, it's important to kind of put some boundaries, guidelines, or, you know, lane markers between what where each of these land. And I think this is why I think it's important to kind of go, look, this is for storage of. Mm-hmm. You know, and it may not fit in a parking garage, and it may not fit over in the manufacturing of the batteries, but it's a big lane that it covers. I mean, there's a lot of the storage that goes on that is out there.
Well, I have people call all the time, wondering out loud as they're on the phone. You know, should they put a deluge system over a charging space? I said, there's nothing that prohibits you from doing it.
Right. Yeah.
There's no prohibition. If that's what you think you need, then that's what you should do.
Right.
You know, and then somebody gets into the whole thing. Well, it's a shielded fire, and it's not like a flammable liquid fire. Yeah. I get it.
Right.
The battery's under the bottom. It's hard to get to.
Right.
We've had people talk about nozzles that pop up from the floor, spraying it. But, well, as long as they park right, and as long as you know the geometry of the battery, and the There's not a skid plate underneath it, or, you know.
Well, the other thing is don't forget what the overall goal is. It's not to put the fire out, it's to control it, which a deluge system, I mean, around the parking, you know, water curtain, something like that around that space, that's going to do what, like you're saying, it's going to control it. Keep it from growing. It's not gonna stop it.
Yeah, because when they finally drag the thing out, and it's still popping and snapping and...
Right.
You know, because, I mean, it's amazing the statistics they talk about how much water they place on these car fires. And it's, you know, they're always interviewing a fire marshal or somebody that, you know, somebody holding onto the end of a hose, obviously. And just the amount of water that they just kept spraying at it, because that's all you can do.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Take it out into the... Take it out
just
into the,
drag it
into
out
the field and shoot it.
Let it burn, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... All right, so a couple other things then, or one other thing, and I think we've already touched on this. You already went down the hydrogen future here about, you know, where this could be going, I mean, with new fuels. I mean, just as soon as we catch up with this, somebody's going to be coming up with a new one, and it's the best and brightest, and it doesn't...
Yeah, I would say one of the best parts about the lithium-ion battery, the technology and the development to date, is, boy, we sure have learned a lot of things. We sure have learned a lot of things. Well, these are unstable in these certain conditions. So then, because a lot of the engineering is do all these things, but don't let it do that.
Okay.
Which is helpful. Yep. Hydrogen is a little different animal because it's more of a fossil fuel type thing. It is a fuel cell storage thing. But we've been running cars on propane for an awfully long time. I live out in the country. The only way I get... source of heat, because I won't cut wood because I'm too lazy, is propane. And most of those vehicles run on propane. If you go down to Brazil, you're sitting in the back seat of a taxi, the gas gauge will say empty, and you go, should we get some gas? Yeah. No, I'm full.
I'm full. On propane.
Yeah. But a lot of this isn't new technology or a new thought. It's just how do you apply it in an intrinsically safe way.
Right.
So that'll be a lot of it, and you're still going to see a lot of water. Because somebody said, well, we should do something with inert gases for hydrogens. Well, good luck with that. I don't know where you're going to carry it all.
All right, so let's pivot here then from kind of the discussion of the overall topics here and the headlines, and we'll just kind of go into, we talked about NFPA 13, we talked about the data sheets, let's talk about what we have to offer. So this is one of the things that I said in the data sheet, in 8-1, this is one of those where you stay, a design guidance, where you stay right within 8-1. Mm-hmm. And it's when when you have a state of charge in your storage that's greater or it's up to and including 60%. You got more than up to and including 40 feet of storage. You got open racks or piled. And you got a couple of different arrangements that you can have for packaging. And all of a sudden, this table keeps you in 8-1. Mm-hmm. And it says, use... Now, use these two, but here's our bad boys right here that we're going to bring in. We bring to the table. It's the 506 and the 510, the 22.4 and 25.2. And I just in there put it. Yeah, there.
Hold it.
Hang on just a second. Yeah, I'll move that back.
Look at that.
All right. Wow. And those are the theoretical flows. If you just calculated 12 by 35 times 35 or however that works. Q equals K times square root of P. You work that out, that's how it works, boys and girls. Figure that out for yourself. Check my math, but that's the way it came out for the 12. So, I mean, this is the guidance. End of story. Now you're just off to FM 2.0, I guess, for installation because you can't, I guess you're going to have to go back to how do you install it.
Literally that compares itself to what? So when you look at 8-1, it's comparing you to a storage known in 8-9. That's where these protection schemes come from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, other than that, yeah, 2-0 is 2-0. That's how you're going to install the
sprinkler. That's how you're going to install it.
Nothing to do with this.
Nope. Yeah, right. Nope. So those are our sprinklers here. We're going to go to a couple more, and we're going to have to lean it. Maybe we'll get somebody to fix this for us. But for now, when you get into still up to 60% of storage state of charge, up to 40 feet in ceiling height. Different scenarios then in the packaging actually wind you up going. This is where a direct reference to 8-9, and it says go see 8-9 for carton expanded plastics or uncartoned unexpanded plastics. There it is. And piled or open racks. So you're going to go find those tables over there to do that. So, but the point I'm thinking, we're trying to make here is that these are already approved sprinklers. There's nothing fancy about these for lithium ion, right? We didn't do any.
No, they've been spraying water for a long time.
Lots of big water. So, I mean, the same thing goes here. And they're not all ESFRs. But they are all quick response. They all have to be quick response the sprinklers. So there it is. There. And here's our other guy. Now this one is where they allow for uprights as well over in 8-9.
Right.
But only for piled when it comes to UUP. So the big difference there is this guy can only be used for open rack in the upright position. But again, it's there it is. It's an option.
Yeah, you've got to be careful when you watch the charts because a lot of people don't understand that the biggest part of the chart says wet and the second biggest part of that says pendant, and then there's some uprights.
Right.
Depending on the obviously.
Yeah. No, you can get tripped up with that pretty quickly, that fast response. There's a number of nuances in that table to really you could probably do a whole tech talks on just reading those tables.
Sure, yeah. Well, a lot of people struggle with
that. Yeah. Let's go to our NRECs then, our family of NRECs that are approved. And again, I want to stress, these are just approved storage NREC sprinklers. I mean, there's nothing special. There's no special testing that they've gone through to do lithium ion anything.
Right.
They are just, FM has really kind of simplified it in that way, saying we've tested this. We've tested these fires. We've run this. They burn like this. This is how we're going to protect them. So now it does kind of address in 8-1 using these sprinklers. And when it comes to rack storage, now rack storage comes if you've gone over It comes into play sometimes if you've gone over 60% of charge, sometimes when you're over 40-foot ceilings, there's no limit on rack. There's a number of different ways you can navigate through that table and wind up requiring in-rack sprinklers. But then it says, and this is the curious part, maybe pick your brain on this one too. Then it says, protect occupancy per occupancy. I mean, where are we going with that? It just says go and protect the occupancy around it like an occupancy. Well, what's it trying to tell me to do?
Well, typically you're going to have dedicated storage spaces. So this isn't quite the same as regular, what we consider warehouse storage,
right,
where anything fits anywhere. And, you know, God forbid if you've got exposed, expanded plastics, because that'll fit anywhere that, a pallet of Coca-Cola would. So,
yeah.
These are generally, especially when they're in the manufacturing or in their charging state, these are dedicated areas. So a lot of times they're not that large.
Okay.
Mostly, I'm talking strictly about automotive and kind of the process that they go through or for automotive. So they're somewhat dedicated spaces. They're literally walled off, because that room creates its own specific type of hazard.
It's almost like a combustible liquid storage, right?
Or no, it's because the if venting is a real issue, because you're literally vapor content is incredible. It's one of those things that you have to kind of adhere to. Think of a room that you wouldn't want to just go in and start breathing real hard.
Okay.
That kind of room.
All right.
So there's those issues. Anything with batteries, even if you have a bunch of high loads in a warehouse, you got to keep ventilation just due to that. So so those rooms are kind of special. And then that's during the manufacturing. As you're charging them, you're bringing them up and down through their cycle before they pass mustard, before they go forward. And then they may push them out to a standard storage area because it's product that's like a lot of manufacturing says WIP, it's work in progress,
right?
And it's right at this point it's a sub-assembly. It's not part of the assembly of the car yet. So as you're moving around that area because they're the piles don't stay quite as large,
right?
They're not quite as dense, of thing. So the protection of the occupancy around it is just that. It's a small space.
Uh-huh.
It's a fish in a big pond.
Okay.
That's,
got it.
That's
it's
what
moving.
It is.
Yeah. It changes and moves as it proceeds.
So that's typically why you're going to see that. Obviously you want to be thoughtful of it and protect it where it's at, where it's in that state, where it's setting. Protect that, but the rest of it, just protect it as its occupancy.
As its own occupancy.
Yeah,
whatever
you're
that
treating it special here.
Right.
You don't have to treat the whole building that way,
right?
Because that's not the building's use.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Cool. All right. So, one last item here then. We've created a handy guide to this, our lithium protection guide. And basically, it's just listing out, you can see here on the... wait a minute, how am I going to paint? There it is. The two columns in blue, this is available on our website right now, but the two columns in blue go down the whole lineup. We got a pretty good lineup, about a dozen sprinklers or so that are identified in here as being FM approved for storage protection, and there they are. Depending on what your classification you wind up with, and this is what I was talking about, the difference in the state of charge, ceiling height, storage height, all the way through, guides you into a specific rack or piled storage arrangement, and then these are the sprinklers that would be approved to do that, just based on their approval, their general approval.
Well, I think the state of charge is what's going to zap a couple of people,
because
they're literally probably going to look at that as ceiling height and storage height. Unfortunately, that's the way we formatted our charts.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can read them in your... The problem is sometimes when there's a mistake in 13, because you're used to reading it one way, you fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
Where this one I could see where somebody, not intentionally,
right,
could fill in a blank going, oh, it's good for a 60-foot ceiling, which is not what it's saying.
That's not what it's saying at all.
State of charge is just that. When we look at Viking must be going green because there's enough electric cars out there. It could be the free charging, in case you were wondering. I talked to one of the fellas that bought one. I just kind of asked, what do you, I like it. It's really fast. But he does worry about the range. And I said, well, why is that? How far does it go when it's, of course, I said 100%. He goes, well, they never really want you to charge it over 80, and they never want you to get lower than 20.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, well, that kind of reduces the range.
Yeah.
So just kind of learning about that, that's why I think the consumer desire is not going to be driving 187 miles and then charging for 45 minutes or 15 minutes even.
Yeah.
If you're at a gas station for more than 15 minutes, you bought lunch and waited for the pizza to come out of the hot oven or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think just consumer demand alone and our tolerance for waiting isn't high.
Yeah.
It just, I wish the gas pump faster.
Yeah.
I'm squeezing it hard now.
But you're right. With the state of charge, and then there's once you get over 60, that's one thing. And once you get up, and again, it's going to exist at these different stages depending on where you are in the whole process. If you're being stored, it's going to be one. If it's being used and then recharged, it's going to go through a whole range of, and the higher just so everybody knows, that the higher the state of charge, the higher the hazard. I mean, the greater the challenge, because that's pressurizing and that could be a real, that's where the challenge is the higher the state of charge. And I guess in this particular one here, that's what you would want to take away. The greater the state of charge, the greater the hazard, the greater the challenge.
Yeah, and then we're learning a lot about lithium ion batteries. Just as consumers, we learn how to abuse things in ways they were never meant to. Salt water in a battery because you use your electric car to back your boat down. You just kind of love that. Like, I wouldn't have thought of doing that. I mean, I don't take a bath with a electric
back
hair
with
dryer.
A toaster.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people wish I did, but.
So. Oh man, we've gone full circle on that one. Let's just go to the final points then on this that we want to kind of drive home here. And number one, tests have conducted here they've tested with wet chemicals, dry chemicals, other suppressants.
Mm-hmm.
Water's still the thing to use. It's still the recommended suppressant, the fire protection.
Well, nothing stops it.
Nothing stops it.
That's,
right.
I think that's the key thing where people actually think that there's a silver bullet.
Yeah.
There's no silver bullet. Nothing stops it. Why do you use water? In the U.S. anyway, it's the most abundant. It's the cheapest source of fire protection that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The other items, not putting any of them down, they're fine, but they don't stop it.
Right. Right.
I've heard too many theoretical. Boy, if we stop it at this stage, and it's like, sure.
and
even FM did a report saying, you can stop it, but as soon as it goes away, it's going to
It's
going to
as soon as you stop applying
again.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Now I've got it. All right, next one. Neither FM nor UL do any specific listings or approvals of sprinklers. There's no testing, no listing, nothing. That's that. The closest you come to it is FM-approved sprinklers for storage that can be used on any storage, lithium-ion batteries included. Now, again, obviously, there are some restrictions because we have a lot of, going back one, we have a few listed in rack K5.6.
Mm-hmm.
Can't use K5.6 in the FM design. It has to be a K8 or 11.2. So, I mean, those are things that you have to pay attention to as well. But they still are just FM approved storage sprinklers.
Yep.
There it is. Finally, Viking has the entire line. We cover everything in FMDS 8-1 and 8-9. And now Taylor, take us to the closing slide. There it is. And Martin, you're going to need to lean out of the way here.
I probably need to exit the way I came in.
There it is. So Martin takes his chair. Martin takes himself and he goes off screen. If you need more information on this, there is more materials on, will be on our Viking training website. As well as if you have any other questions or you just want to talk to Martin, call up Viking Tech Services or connect with us online. I'm Jim Lake, VP of Training. Thanks for paying attention today. I look forward to seeing you online or in class. Thanks.